السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلوات الله عليكم يا شيخنا.
آمين. الله يسلمك. How are you?
الحمد لله.
How are you going with the class?
نعم يا شيخنا.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, today is the 29th day of Dhul Qa'da in Nigeria. In our own country, today is the 29th day of Dhul Qa'da. If the moon is sighted later today, tomorrow, Sunday, will be the first day of Dhul Hijjah. If the moon is sighted today, tomorrow, Yawm al-Ahad, will be the first day of Dhul Hijjah. But today, we are still on the 29th day of Dhul Hijjah. If Dhul Hijjah completes 30, it means that by tomorrow, if Dhul Qa'da completes 30, if Dhul Qa'da completes 30 with us, we will be starting Dhul Hijjah on Monday. But if Dhul Qa'da remains 29 and the moon is sighted later today, it means tomorrow, Sunday, Yawm al-Ahad, will be starting Dhul Hijjah. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen was asked about the nawafil that a person makes in the month of Ramadan. If a person makes nawafil, Qiyam al-Layl, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and then he makes Qiyam al-Layl or other nawafil in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the Sheikh was asked which of them is better. And he said, Rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, observing the nawafil in the first days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, are more beloved and more rewarding before Allah than observing the same salah in the last 10 days or in the month of Ramadan. Then he began to say that the month of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, are so virtuous in the sight of Allah, but that unfortunately, many of the people of learning do not remind the rank and file of the Muslims about the virtue of this month. And we know that even with the widespread of information from the internet these days, my thinking, our talking about the Dhul Hijjah is still not enough. So our class today, bismillah, will be about the month of Dhul Hijjah, so that we are able to, bismillah, gain from the virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored that he has placed in this month. But fortunately, the Ummah in the past had paid good attention to the month of Dhul Hijjah, especially the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The Ummah in the past, the early Muslims, the companions, and their students, radiallahu anhum, they have paid good attention to the month of Dhul Hijjah. And one of the evidences for that was that you would find a lot of books that have been written specifically about the month of Dhul Hijjah. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Abul Abbas, he has an entire book of the month of Dhul Hijjah that he referred to as Qa'idatun fi Fadli Ashri Dhul Hijjah. Al-Sharif bin Hijjah, a basic rule or a basic foundation about the first 10 days of Al-Hijjah. Likewise, Al-Imam Ziyauddin Al-Maqdisi Rahimahullah Al-Hafiz, he has an entire book about Fadha'il Al-Ashr, the virtues in the 10 days, the virtues of the 10, referring to the 10 days of Al-Hijjah. And before him, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama Al-Maqdisi, the author of Al-Mughni, the very popular book of fiqh upon the madhab of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, he also has an entire book about the first 10 days of Al-Hijjah that he titled Fadlu Ashri Al-Hijjah. Long before them all was Al-Imam Al-Tabarani, rahimahullah, the author of Al-Ma'ajim Al-Thalatha, Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, and Al-Mu'jam Al-Saghir. Al-Imam Al-Tabarani, rahimahullah, Abu Al-Qasim, he has a book also about Fadlu Ashri Al-Hijjah. That is the one that I have with me, Fadlu Ashri Al-Hijjah. By Al-Imam Tabarani, rahimahullah. The Imam Tabarani lived in the 3rd century of Islam. The Imam Tabarani was of the 3rd century. He passed away in 360 after Hijrah. And shortly before him was the book by Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dunya. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dunya is known for works like this. He selects particular matters in Islam and compiles a hadith and the statements of the companions regarding them. So Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullah, he also has a book that he titled Fadha'il Ashri Al-Hijjah. He titled it Fadha'il Ashri Al-Hijjah. The point here is that the early Muslims had paid good attention to the first 10 days of the Hijjah, recognizing the various ahadith that have been reported from the companions radiyallahu anhum, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extols the virtues of the first 10 days of Al-Hijjah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum mentioned, reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام العشر. He says there are no days, ما من أيام, there are no days in which العمل الصالح أحب إلى الله, in which righteous deeds are more pleasing to Allah, من هذه الأيام العشر, than these 10 days. And these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Billah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. There are no days on which good deeds are more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min hadhihi al-ayyam al-ashr, than these 10 days. The companions radiyallahu anhum were dazed. Radiyallahu anhum, they were surprised. Messenger of Allah, there are no days on which good deeds, all good deeds. If you observe Salatul Fajr outside these first 10 days of Ramadan, Salatul Fajr that you observe in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are all rewards. If you observe Salatul Fajr in first 10 days, in any time in Ramadan, Salatul Fajr in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah have better rewards. They are more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you fast on any day outside these 10 days of Ramadan, of these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, fasting in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are more rewarding before Allah than any other fast outside, than those fasts outside the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The best of the days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are these austere days of Dhul-Hijjah. So the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because they knew the virtue of jihad. Fi sabilillah. So, Ya Rasulallah, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Does that also involve jihad fi sabilillah? Does jihad not also have as much reward? Someone goes to participate in jihad fi sabilillah. Fali jihad fi sabilillah. And then he does the good deeds in the months of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Are you saying that good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah have more rewards than al-jihad? And we have known from other ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will refer to jihad as ziruwatu sanam al-Islam. That is, ziruwatu sanam al-Islam, the height of the peak of Islam. One of the major things in Islam is jihad fi sabilillah. Yet the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said in response to the companions, is walal jihad fi sabilillah. It means jihad fi sabilillah outside the first 10 days of the Hijrah is not of equal rewards. The deeds in the month, in the first 10 days of the Hijrah are more rewarding than jihad outside these days. Jihad outside these days has a lesser reward compared to other good deeds in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So the Prophet answered them and said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Wala al-jihad fi sabilillah. Even jihad fi sabilillah is not as virtuous as observing good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And then he gave an exception, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Illa rajulan kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi thumma lam yarji' min thalika bi shay'in. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Illa rajulun kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi thumma lam yarji' min thalika bi shay'in. Except a man kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi, who goes out in jihad vis-a-vis-lillah, binafsihi, with his self, wa malihi, and his possessions that he has. Thumma lam yarji' min dhalika bishay. And he does not return with anything of that. He does not return with himself, and he does not return with anything that he belongs, that belongs to him from his possessions with which he went out. So it means, if the person went on jihad and he has his hand cut from jihad, valid jihad, he went out, he has half of his body cut off, he returns to his family, performing good deeds in the first 10 days of the Hijrah is more rewarding than that. The only person who has more reward is the one who goes out vis-a-vis-lillah and he does not return with his wealth. Neither does he return with his property or his life. In another report of this hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is illa man akthara wajhahu turab. Illa man akthara wajhahu at-turab. Except the one that at-turab akthara wajhahu, that the sand covers up his face, robs his face. When does the sun rob the face of an individual? When he dies during the battle. So the one who fights and dies during the battle, that he has fought outside the first 10 days of the Hijrah, he is the only one who has more rewards before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the person who has performed good deeds in the first 10 days of the Hijrah. The only time that good deeds outside the first 10 days of the Hijrah has more reward is when the man goes with all his property, binafsihi wa malihi, thumma lam yarji' min dhalika bishay. And then he does not return with anything. He said in another report, as we said, afara wajhahu turab. When the sand robs his face, he passes away. He went for jihad and dies in jihad. And he does that outside the month of the Hijrah. that is when he has more rewards than the one who is performing good deeds, than the one who makes nawaf, than the one who observes from salawat, than the one who fasts, than the one who makes hajj, than the one who slaughters an animal in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. This makes us understand that the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are so virtuous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and filled with favors. In another word in the hadith, it said that ma min ayyami al-amalu fiha afdal min ayyami al-ashri. Ma min ayyami. There are no days on which good deeds are more virtuous min ayyami al-ashri than the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. They are so, so virtuous in the sight of Allah. Hadith we have read is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, it occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and in other books of hadith like Sunan Abi Dawood. In the report of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, remember the companion Jabir. His father passed away and his uncle passed away in the Battle of Uhud radiallahu anhu. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma, he also reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says, ma min ayyamin afdalu indallahi min ayyami ashri dhul hijjah. Ma min ayyamin afdalu indallahi. There are no days that are better. There are no days that are more virtuous in the sight of Allah, full of favors. No days are full of favors before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min ayyami ashri dhul hijjah, than the first 10 days, than the days of the first 10 days of dhul hijjah. There are no days that have more favors. There are no days that are more blessed in the sight of Allah. So this report of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari is clear-cut evidence that the best of the days of this dunya, the best of the days of this dunya, are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The best of the days of this dunya are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari said, ma min ayyamin afdal indallah min ayyami ashri Dhul Hijjah. There are no days that are better in the sight of Allah than the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. That's reported by Imam ibn Hibban and Shaykh Isa Musa Hadi in his Tahqiq of Lata'if al-Ma'arif by Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. He grades this hadith as sahihun li ghayrihi. In another wording of this hadith, the hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, afdalu ayyam al-dunya ayyamul ashri. Afdalu ayyam al-dunya ayyamul ashri. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, afdalu ayyam al-dunya ayyamul ashri. He could be asked, ma afdalu ayyam al-dunya? The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, afdalu ayyam al-dunya ayyamul ashri. The best of the days of this dunya, anybody who is alive in the dunya, the best days he would ever spend are what? Ayyamul Ashri, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. That is why many of the scholars have mentioned among the scholars of Tafsir that when in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah says, Wal Fajri, he said, Walayalin Ashrin. He said, Wal Fajri, I swore with the dawn. The dawn Al-Fajr, Allah swore with it, with the greatness of that period and time. And he swears with what he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, wa layalin ashr. He also swore with the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Layalin ashr in Surah Al-Fajr refers to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Al-Imam ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, why commenting on this verse, wa layalin ashr? He says, wa layalin ashr, and the 10 days or the 10 nights that Allah has mentioned It says Al Murad biha Ashru Zil Hijjah. Al-Layali Al-Ashru, those 10 days that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr. Al Murad biha Ashru Zil Hijjah. What is intended? The meaning of that is Al-Ashru, the 10 days of Zul Hijjah. Kama qalahu Ibn Abbas ibn Zubayr, as has been explained by Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, wa mujahidun wa ghayru wahidin min as-salafi wal khalafi. He says, kama qalahu Ibn Abbas ibn Zubayr, wa mujahidun wa ghayru wahidin min as-salafi wal khalafi. He says, that is the explanation of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Zubayr. ومجاهد الإمام مجاهد التجب المكي رحمه الله one of the eminent تابعون companions of Abdullah ibn Abbas ابن كثير said رحمه الله وغير واحد من السلف والخلف and many more than one amongst the scholars amongst the salaf the earlier Muslims the early Muslims والخلف and those who came after them رحمه الله. Likewise, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, in his book, Lata'if Al-Ma'arif, he said regarding that explanation of Ibn Abbas and Ibn Zubayr, that Walayalin Ashrin refers to what? The first 10 days of Al-Hijjah. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab said, وَهَذَا الصَّحِيحِ, and this is what is correct, الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ جُمْهُورُ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ مِنَ السَّلَفِي وغيرهم, which is, this is what is correct, that the correct thing is that walayalin ashrin refers to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. He says, وَهَذَا الصَّحِيحُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ. So this is what is correct. And that is the view of جمهور المفسرين, the large majority of the scholars of tafsir, رحمهم الله, من السلف وغيرهم, amongst the early Muslims and others apart from them. He said, Rahimahullah, وَهُوَ الصَّحِيحُ عَنِ إِبْنِ Abbas. And that is what has been authentically reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas. That what? That وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ in Surah Al-Fajr refers to the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. That has also been explained similarly by Sayyidul Mufassirin, one of the leading scholars, in fact, the leading scholars among the scholars of At-Tafsir, Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Jarir At-Tabari in his Tafsir. He also gave the explanation that Walayalin Ashrin, by which Allah swore in the Quran in Surah Al-Fajr, it refers to the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best days of this dunya. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma said that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that afdalu ayyam dunya ayyamul ashri, the best of the days of this dunya are those 10 days. And for us in Nigeria, when will it start? When will those 10 days start? We'd explain to us that today is the 29th day of Dhul Qa'dah here in Nigeria. So from sunset today, if the moon was sighted today, it means from the time of Maghrib, we would have started the best days of this day. From Maghrib today, Bismillah, we will be starting the best days of dunya. Who said so? The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says, afdalu ayyam dunya ayyamul ashri, afdalu ayyam dunya ayyamul ashri, the best of the days of this dunya are these days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Because of this statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and what has been explained so far regarding the virtues of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the scholars have viewed differently. How about the last 10 days of Ramadan? They are so virtuous. If we are not talking about the days, if you say during daytime, because a day is of two, have daytime and night. So if the daytime in the month of Hijjah, the first 10 nights, the first 10 daytime in the month of Hijjah are better than the daytime in the month of Ramadan, how about the nights? Are the nights of Hijjah also better than the nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Some of the scholars have said that the night days, the nights of Ramadan are better than the nights in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They say that because the nights of Ramadan have Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr is khayrun min alf shahr, and Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. So they have that opinion. Rahimahumullah, the first opinion amongst the scholars regarding this issue. That as for the nights of Ramadan, the nights of Ramadan are better than the nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They have an opinion that the nights of Ramadan are better than the nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, but that the daytime in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the daytime in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better than the daytime in the last 10 days of Ramadan. So daytime is better in Dhul-Hijjah. Nighttime is better than the nighttime of Dhul-Hijjah. The nighttime of Ramadan, last 10 nights of Ramadan, is better than the last, the first 10 nights in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. This is the view of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. After him, it is the view of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Mubarakuri, the author of the Qutb al-Aqwazi. It is also the opinion of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Asyuti. Also the view of Al-Imam Ibn Nafi, the king of Dimashqi, Rahimahullah. He also mentioned it in the book that he specifically wrote regarding the issue. Al-Imam, now.
There was a break in the communication. The last thing we heard was the opinion of Sheikh Adam al-Ethiopi.
Now, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi had the view that the days of Dhul-Hijjah are better than the days in the last 10 days of Ramadan, but that the nights of Ramadan are better than the nights in the first 10 days. The nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan are better than the first 10 nights in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. They said because the nights of the last 10 of Ramadan are Laylatul Qadr. This is the view of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah also. Like we mentioned earlier, it's also the view of the Imam Abdul Rahman Mubarakpuri, the author of Tuhfat al-Aqwazi, which is the Sharh of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And we said that it's also the opinion of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi. He also mentioned that in the Sharh of Sunan al-Tirmidhi that he titled Tuhfat al-Talib al-Aqwas. So they gave a difference. As for the nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are better. As for the daytime in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better. This is one of the views. But a stronger view, and Allah knows this, is the view that both day and night in Dhul-Hijjah are better in the sight of Allah than both day and night in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And we mentioned that that is also the view of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali that he mentioned in Tariq al-Ma'arif. And he said, وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ, after mentioning the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. That hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari that we read has also been reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. It has also been reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. It has also been reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And others amongst the companions, they widely reported hadith from amongst the companions. That was why Ali Imam of Tabarani rahimahullah has a compilation of this. He called Fadlu Ashri Zulfijah. And he combined all those ahadith. It has also been reported by Abu Huraira, radiallahu and so it's a widely reported hadith. After mentioning all these reports in Lata'if al-Ma'arif, Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali said, وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ عَشْرَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ عَشْرَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ مِنْ غَيْرِ اسْتِثْنَائِ. He said, these narrations, all these narrations, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ عَشْرَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ. They all point that the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better than all other days that we may have, means very specifically, without any kind of an exception. He says, Hadha fi ayyami. This is regarding the daytime. There's clearly, regarding the daytime, yes, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are more virtuous than the last 10 days of Ramadan. He says, wa amma layaluhu, but as for its nights, فمن المتأخرين من زعم أن ليالي عشر رمضان من المتأخرين. There are those amongst who came later amongst the scholars. من زعم أن ليالي عشر رمضان, who gave the opinion that the nights in the last 10 days of Ramadan أفضل من ليالي are better than the nights in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. لِشْتِمَالِهَا عَلَىٰ لَيْلَةِ الْفَجْرِ. Because the last 10 nights of Ramadan has لَيْلَةُ الْفَجْرِ. This is وَهَذَا بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا. وَهَذَا بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا. But this view is perfect. It's a perfect view. It's a perfect view. Why? Because these texts are clear. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. The best of the days of this dunya are the first 10 days of this dunya. And you cannot remove a night from the daytime. You cannot separate, you cannot cut off the night from the day. In the night of the last 10 days of Ramadan, he told us that it is virtuous. It is virtuous. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِهَا. He does not say that it is the most virtuous night on the dunya. But this hadith of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah includes the fact that these nights are the best days of dunya. I hope that is clear. The ahadith and the verses of the Quran about Laylatul Qadr only told us how great the night is. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It does not mean that it is the best of the nights of the dunya. But the first 10 nights in the month of Dhul-Hijjah includes both day and night. So if you say it is the best, one of the nights and one of the days of this dunya are the days of Laylatul Qadr. Yet the Messenger told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is better than the days of the dunya. Did he forget when he said that, alayhi salatu wasalam? In the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and in other books of hadith, he did not forget that there is the night of Laylatul Qadr. Yet he still said that the best nights are the best nights of at the nights of and the days of Dhul-Hijjah, including day and night. If there is tafsir, they will give tafsir. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it implies an Allah knows best. These scholars, that's why Ibn Rajab says, وَهَذَا بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا. It is a far-fetched thing to think that the nights of Ramadan are better than the nights in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. It is a far-fetched, it's far away. It is far away. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, gave that explanation. He gave similar explanations also in his book, Fath al-Bari, which is the Sharh on Sahih al-Bukhari. And look for his statements in both books, either Fath al-Bari, his commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, or in Lata'if al-Ma'arif, rahimahullah. There are others among the scholars like Al-Imam Ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimashqi, and many others amongst the scholars. They believe that the first 10 day and night of Dhul-Hijjah are more virtuous in the sight of Allah than the last 10 day and night on the Quran. And these are at this point to it. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, the prophet from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أفضل أيام الدنيا أيام العشر. The best of the days of this dunya are those days in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. That is the reason why we must avoid committing sins, one of the manners, one of the adabs. And I have not heard many of the brothers talking about this. One major adab in this month, one major thing, we must all now, after recognizing how virtuous these days are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. We all must avoid zulm. Zulm to the self and zulm to the people. Don't wrong yourselves in these months. The first 10 nights of Ramadan is part of Al-Ashkur al-Qur. Allah told us in the Quran, says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ شُهُورِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِسْنَا أَشَرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. The counting of the months in the sight of Allah are 12. That is what is in the recordings of Allah. The months are 12, it's Allah. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It has been like that since the time that Allah created the heavens and the earth, that the months should be 12. When he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, minha, from these 12, arba'atun hurum, four of the months are sanctified months. Four of them are special months. They are holy months, if you say, sanctified. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned those months to us. He mentioned three of them that follow themselves. What are they? The month of what? Shawwal. And then what? Zulqa'dah. And then what? Zulhijjah. These months follow themselves. They are months in which fighting is prohibited. They are sanctified months, unless you are caught. And so on. Even the Arabs before the time of the Prophet, they recognize the sanctity of these months. The fourth of them that stands alone is the month of Rajab. Three of them are together, Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, and Zulhijjah. So you see, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah is part of these months that Allah sanctified. Now, inside these 4 months that Allah has sanctified, Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and the month of Rajab, the first 10 nights or the first 10 days of Zulhijjah fall inside these months. The first 10 days of Zulhijjah fall inside these Ashkur al-Qurum. And Allah says regarding them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. This is the perfect straight deen. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't hurt yourselves. Don't cheat yourselves. Either as an individual cheating himself, or an individual cheating others in these months. That should have been from Shawwal. Don't be sinful in them. So you should all be careful. Don't spend the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah in sin in the name of celebrating Eid. It is prohibited. You come on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah with saints, to drink alcohol, to womanize, to go about, to all of these people do. May Allah protect all of us from these evils. Allah says, Allah tazlimu fi inna anfusakum. Do not hurt, do not wrong your own souls in these months. Why? These months are these periods is the best period on earth. Afdalu ayyam bikum. They say, Allah tazlimu fi inna anfusakum. Don't cause harm. Sin committed in this time are worse. Sin committed in this time are worse than sins committed outside it. Sins committed within the period of Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah. They are worse than sins committed outside. And it is far worse in the days of the 10 days of Zulhijjah. First 10 days of Zulhijjah. So part of the things everybody must prepare for is not to fall into sin. Don't watch things that Allah has prohibited. Everybody has phones on his hands now. There is hardly a page that you will browse or read something that you will not read something that is prohibited. Be careful. Do not wrong your own soul in this kind of a period. Don't wrong yourself. Don't commit sins. Fear Allah subhanahu. Be conscious of it. As you are conscious that, oh, we're in the first 10 days of the Hijra, we're in the best times. Yes, we're in the best times. Should you spend the best times of our sins? May Allah protect each and every one of us. So we can ask, what are the deeds that we should prepare for? Because it's just here. In my thinking, perhaps from sunset today, we'll be getting into the Hijra. Because in other countries, today is the 30th of Zulfada in Saudi Arabia specifically, but it is 29th. So most probably, by Maghrib today, it's starting Zulfada. So as you have it in mind that you are starting the best days on this dunya, after you are here, you should also have it in mind that these are the times that I must never fall into a sin. The best righteousness is expected of us in this time. May Allah count us and make us from the righteous. So what are the deeds? Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah al-Asqalani, when he explains it, he said one of the reasons why the first 10 days of the Hijra have that great worship is that it has all the major worship of Islam. The first major worship of Islam is Tawheed. That is the expression by which an individual becomes a Muslim. It is part of the deeds of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Kasrat al-Takbir wa al-Tahleel wa al-Tasbih. So if you ask, what are the things we must prepare for? We must prepare for al-Takbir wa al-Tahleel wa al-Tasbih. We must prepare for what? Al-Takbir wa al-Tahleel wa al-Tahleel. Saying a lot of Takbir. Saying a lot of at-tahleel, la ilaha illallah. Saying a lot of takbir, Allahu Akbar. And saying a lot of what? At-tahmeed, alhamdulillah. These are the major deeds. And it is the first pillar of Islam, at-tawheed. The kalimat at-tawheed will be expressing lots of kalimat at-tawheed. And the most widely reported expression of that that zikr is the expression of live Muslim. So, رضي الله عنه, that we should say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. So, from Maghrib today, from sunset today, we should fill our mouths with these expressions. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. This should be said whether we are walking, whether we are sitting down, whether we are with people, whether we are inside the market, whether we are talking to people, we should insert it into it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. In the report of Abdullah ibn Umar, رضي الله عنهما, about the virtue of the first 10 days of the Hijrah. After he mentioned that those are the best days in the front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ. So these 10 days, these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, make a lot of at-tahmeed inside them. Make a lot of at-tahleel, la ilaha illallah, inside them. And Allahu Akbar inside them. Make lots of alhamdulillah. Make statements like La ilaha illallah. Make statements like Allahu Akbar inside them. And the expression for that is what? Allahu Akbar. Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. That after that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar was reported, like I mentioned, by Al-Imam al-Tabarani, Abu al-Qasim, in his book, Fadlu Ashri Zil-Hijjah, on the 32nd page. It has also been reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and Imam al-Bayhaqi also reported in his book, Shu'ab al-Iman, and it has been graded Hassan by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam al-Albani in Irwa al-Ghalib. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فَأَكْفِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْنِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. So the first duty we have in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is what? Saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Al-Imam al-Bukhari also reported mu'allaqan from the reports that he mentioned from companions, by way of giving support to some of the narrations that he mentioned in the book Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, rahimahullah, kana Abu Hurairata wa ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma ya'tiyan as-suq ayyam al-'ashr fa yukabbirani wa yukabbiru an-nasu ma'ahuma. Imam al-Bukhari said, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu wa ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Umar ya'tiyan as-suq, they will come to the markets ayyam al-ashri on the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Fayutakbira, they will start saying takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, wa yukabbiru nasu ma'ahuma. Yukabbiran, وَيُكَبِّرُ النَّاسُ مَعَهُمَا. They will be saying those takbir, and the people will be saying takbir with them. وَلَا يَأْتِيَانِ لِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا لِذَلِكَ. He had not come to the market to buy pepper and tomato and rice and fish. No. لَا يَأْتِيَانِ لِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا لِذَلِكَ. Nothing brought them to the market except to remind the people about what takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So this means, who say these takbirat in the public places. That ashar of Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Umar was also reported by Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Marwazi in his book Al-Eidain. It was also reported by Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali in his book Fath al-Bari in the 9th column, page 8. Maimun ibn Mihran was a tabi'i. He said, Adraktu nas wa innahum la yutabbiruna fil ashir. Adraktu nas. Maimun ibn Mihran lived in Medina. He lived in Medina for most of his life. He was amongst eminent ones amongst the tabi'in. He met many of the companions. Radiyallahu anhu. He says, Adraktu nas. When I met those people, wa innahum la yukabbiruna fil ashri. They would make takbirat in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Hatta kuntu ushabbihuhu bil amwaji min kasratiha. They will make takbir so much that we should be who will watch. I would liken the way they make this, those takbirat, till amwad, like waves. Those takbir are coming, like waves. Because of how much those takbir were, because of their plentiness. They make takbir, plenty takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Maimun ibn Mihran said, the people that he met, the companions, radiyallahu anhu, that was how they are. In his own time, he started saying, Inna nas qad naqasu fi taktarkihim al-takbir. Inna nas qad naqasu. Unfortunately, but the people, naqasu, they have not done well. They have not done well at all. Fi tarkihim al-takbir. For their living takbir. Later on, people came down. But in the times of the companions, everybody was saying takbir at Allah. If we want to return to that time and behave like them, we should still be saying these takbirat in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. I think this is the first thing, and that has to do with at-tawheed. The other thing that we have to do in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is as-salah. obligatory salah, salatul fajri, that you observe in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They are better than salatul fajri outside the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So then what about that? The main thing about that is that you expect the rewards and you make more effort to perfect your salah. If your salah had not been perfectly observed, go in this between now and Maghrib today, go and start reading, look for videos to study salah, perfect your salah. Not just that, pay attention to that salah. Be sure that the salah you perform, they are in jama'ah and they are well observed. Perform salah in jama'ah and be sure that you observe the salah well. When you go to the masjid, dress well. The Quran told us, "Khudhu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjid." When you go to the masjid, take up good ornaments, dress well. Some of us are used to it. We have the best of our dresses when we dress and go out. When we come back, we remove fine dress and we will look for one jalabiya to wear that we cannot wear in front of our visitors. That is what we wear in the masjid. Let us dress well, observe the salah correctly and duly, and pay good attention to that salah, because salah we observe in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are more rewarding than the salah we observe outside them. From the things we can also do is salah to tasbih. Salah to tasbih is a salah, we know it, of four rak'ats. Four rak'ats, one taslim. And after you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we are going to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. We say 15 while standing. And all of that, we say 10. Let's get our salah to tasbih. You can observe salah to tasbih every day. In the first 10 days of the Dhul-Hijjah, there are some scholars who say that the ahadith on salah to tasbih are not authentic, but that statement of theirs itself is not authentic. The correct thing is that the ahadith of salah to tasbih, they are authentic. So we can make salah to tasbih on every day of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah by way of seeking lots of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us are not regular with our rawatib, 2 rakats before Fajr, 4 rakats before Zuhr, 4 rakats after Zuhr, or 4 rakats before Zuhr, 2 rakats after Zuhr, or 2 rakats before Zuhr, 2 rakats after Zuhr, 2 rakats before Asr, 2 rakats after Asr, 2 rakats after Salat al-Asr is from the Sunnah. As long as the sun has not turned yellow or red, you can make 2 quick rakats after Salat al-Asr, 2 rakats after Maghrib, 2 rakats after Isha, then your Qiyamul Layl. These are things that we should not miss. We should begin from sunset today, inshallah, if the moon was sighted and the commencement of Dhul-Hijjah is announced in our country today. These are the things that we get busy with. As for this special salah, Salatul Eid, that has been legislated and approved for us in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, inshallah, we will discuss Ahkam of Salatul Eid tomorrow, inshallah. We mentioned some of the rulings regarding Salatul Eid in our class in the morning tomorrow, inshallah. We mentioned what are the basic rulings regarding Salatul Eid, what are also the basic rulings about the slaughtering of that day. So we'll discuss Salatul Eid and Udhiyah, inshallah, tomorrow in our next class. So we leave Salah. That is the next most important thing. As Sadaqat, we should try to make a lot of Sadaqat. We should try to make a lot of sadaqah in this month of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Everybody has what it takes to give sadaqah. I usually don't like a situation where people think that the only persons who can give sadaqah are the rich. You have something, just look for something you can give sadaqah in sadaqah for the sake of Allah. And bismillah, this afternoon, we'll be having a lecture about Fadl al-Sadaqah. We hope to mention the virtues. What does an individual stand to gain when he gives Sadaqah? And one of the things you find out is that everybody can give Sadaqah. When you do good deeds, Sadaqah. When you guide someone to someone, that's something that is sadaqah. When you teach knowledge that Allah has blessed you, it is sadaqah. When you help someone negotiate something that is good for him, it is sadaqah. When you help someone upon what he needs, sadaqah. When you give money, sadaqah. When you give food, it's sadaqah. When you give whatever, it's sadaqah. Be sure that you are giving it for the sake of it. And be sure that you will not come to abuse that benefactor tomorrow, because it will destroy your rewards. So we all should be sure. From this evening, the children at home, everybody, we all should start thinking about it. That what will I be giving in Soda for on every day, the first 10 days of the exam. So that will stand. And those who have not observed their zakawat, you can remove your zakat in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. If your zakat is due and you pay it in the first 10 days of the Hijjah, it is better than the person who pays his zakat in the month of Ramadan. You pay zakat in the first 10 days of the Hijjah, it has more rewards for you than zakat in the month of Ramadan. Why? Absolutely. Ayyam al-Dunya, Ayyamul Ashri, the best of the days of this dunya are the first 10 days of the Hijjah. From the deeds that we should look forward to observing in these first 10 days of the Hijjah is As-Sawm, Awisiyam, fasting. We must look forward to fasting in this month of the Hijjah. In the first 10 days of the Hijjah, we must look forward to fasting. And this has been proven from two narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars of Hadith, when they discuss that Hadith of Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, Jabir, that we read, that afdali ayyam al-dunya ayyamu al-ashri or ma min ayyamin afdalu indallah in hadhi al-ayyam, when they read this Hadith, they give it a tabweed. They give a chapter heading. What chapter heading will they give? Babun fi sawmil ashr. The scholars of Hadith, in the books of Hadith, when they mention the Hadith of Ibn Abbas, they say babun fi aw babu fi sawmi al-ashri, the chapter regarding fasting in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. They consider that statement of Ibn Abbas, that the period in which the good deeds are best observed in the sight of Allah are the first 10 days. So they say it means it's the best time also observe fasting. So one of the things that they encourage is also fasting. And many others among those scholars have deduced it, like Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. That is his opinion. He said that Hadith of Ibn Abbas is also evidence that you can fast the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Don't forget, when we say first 10 days of the Hijjah and fasting, what we mean is the first 9 days. Because we all know the Ijma by consensus that on the 10th day of the Hijjah, that is Yom al-Eid, there is no fasting on the days of the Eid. So when we say fasting in the first 10 days of the Hijjah, even when we don't clarify, have it in mind that what we mean is what? The first 9 days of the Hijjah. So we should fast tomorrow if the Hijjah is announced to start this evening. We should start fasting, preparing to fast for the first 9 days. First fast for the first 9 days. The fast is Tatawu. So by the opinion of those who also accept and believe that fasting on Saturday is not for the Sunnah, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means you will exempt a Saturday since it is not an obligatory fast. I hope that the matter is clear. For those who have that opinion will fast, who have the opinion that it is permissible to fast on Saturdays, if it is not fasting alone, you can fast all the first 9 days. So if you have that opinion that I have, that is, as it is clear from that, the opinion of others among the ulama in the past and in the present, that we should not fast on Saturdays, except those fasts that are made there obligatory. It means from the 9 days of the Hijjah, we are going to exempt fasting on Saturdays. So the first proof that we can fast first 9 days of the Hijjah is that same Hadith that the best of the days on which good deeds are done are the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Many of the scholars have deduced that ruling from that Hadith. Like we said, like Al-Imam Ahmed, like Al-Imam al-Tuhawi, rahimahullah, Abu Ja'far, like Al-Imam Ibn Hazm, and others. The reason we are saying it is that someone can say, Abu Nasir, what is the evidence in the hadith of Ibn Abbas that since it says the best days are the first 10 days of the Hijjah, is that evidence that we should fast on the first 10 days? Yes, some scholars have said too, that it is evidence for it. And those are the Imam Ahmad, Imam Ibn Qudam, Imam Shawkani. Yes, Bumba has also said so. That is his fatwa on that hadith. The second hadith that proves that we can fast on the first 10 days of the Hijjah, the first 9 days specifically, is a hadith that has been reported by one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم تسعة ذي الحجة. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast تسعة ذي الحجة. He used to fast what? He used to fast تسعة ذي الحجة. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم تسعة ذي الحجة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to fast تسعة ذي الحجة. He used to fast the first 9 days of Al-Hijjah. That hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It's also reported by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Muslim. Al-Imam Nasa'i also reported that hadith. Apart from the first narrations regarding the first 9 days, there's also the hadith of fasting on the day of Arafah for those of us who are not in Hajj. To beg Allah to grant us the reward of Hajj, because it is our sincere intention to be in Hajj. It's our sincere intention to be in Hajj. Qadarullahi wa ma sha'a fa'ala. We are poor. All those who have very genuine, sincere intention to be in Hajj this year and have not been permitted by Allah, we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them the reward of the intention for Hajj. And that is tremendous too. So fasting on the day of Arafah is for those who are not on Arafah. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding that, you takfiru sanat al-mawdiyati wal-baqiyah. It will atone for the sins of as-sanat al-mawdiyah, the past year, wal-baqiyah, and the one in front of it. May Allah forgive us our sins. May Allah forgive us our sins. So it is lawful, it is encouraged to fast the first 10 days. So we have talked about al-tawheed, we have talked about salah, we have talked about sadaqah, we have talked about fast. The fifth major duty of the month of first 10 days of Zulhijjah is Hajj itself. Hajj can only be performed in the first 10 days. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said this is one reason why these are the best days. There are no days that combines all these duties, where there is an ibadah of declaring tawheed, there is the ibadah of siyam together, there is the ibadah of salah, the salat of Eidain together, there is the ibadah of sadaqah also in it, there is the ibadah of hajj. Hajj is not in Ramadan. If you say there is umrah in Ramadan, there is umrah also in the Hijjah. But if you say there is hajj in the Hijjah, there is no hajj in Ramadan. So they say all these worship together are all inside first 10 days of the Hijjah. There is no slaughtering of rams and animals in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But it is part of the worship in the first 10 days, part of the major worship in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. I would like to quickly say here, although this matter I want to mention now is connected to slaughtering, but I should say it today because tomorrow is just here. Anybody who intends to slaughter a ram during the day of Eid on the 10th day of Hijjah, he should from Maghrib today, he should not take away anything from his hairs or fingernails. Don't take anything away from your hairs or from your fingernails. You do all of that between now, this moment of this class, this morning, and the time of Maghrib, Ghurub al-Shams. That is the longest time. If you want to shave your hair, shave your head. If you want to shave your pubes now. If you want to cut your fingernails, reduce them, do that now. Do all of these now. If you intend to slaughter an animal. There are some of the scholars who say that the ruling is also connected to our families. This is the full position of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, where he slaughters a ram in the month of Zulhijjah. Himself and his family, they don't take off anything from that day. They don't remove their hair. They don't cut their fingernails from the first day of Zulhijjah. And this is the opinion of the large majority of the scholars. This is the opinion of Ali Imam Shafi, the opinion of Abu Thawr. On other, it's not a strange view at all. It's not a strange view at all. It's not a strange view at all that there are amongst the scholars who say that the ruling also applies to our wives and our children. In fact, in my thinking, it appears the opinion that is stronger. Even though I used to think that, yes, the ruling is restricted to the person, the individual slaughtering. This is the view of our scholars, the Imam al-Albani, the Sheikh ibn Baz, the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sulaymi. But there is Athar from Muhammad ibn Sirin, and that Athar is Sahih. Ibn Hazm reported it in Kut al-Muhalla, others reported it, that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, he will discourage himself, he will discourage his home, his wives, and his children. They too should be included in the ruling of not shaving or cutting the hair. I hope that as the week goes on, or between now and the evening, the rest of our brothers will research this issue better and tell us what they have seen. So this is what I have seen. Others amongst the scholars have mentioned it, even in the present time, that there are afar from somebody Syrian, that himself and his household, he considers the ruling to be part of the rulings that are connected to the household, because the household also share in the rewards of the slaughter. When we slaughter our ram, we say, I'm slaughtering for myself and my household. So they are also connected to the slaughter. So if they are also connected to the slaughter, they do also disconnect from shaving, cutting, and all of these as men. But others say, no, it is those who are slaughtering that are clearly mentioned in that hadith of the Salaf. Inshallah, we'll mention a bit of a detail regarding this matter in the class tomorrow. But men, there is no issue regarding that. There is no difference regarding that. When you are slaughtering as a man buys a ram, he wants to slaughter on the day of Eid. Or a woman buys a ram, she wants to slaughter. And this is from the worship that women can do. One of the scholars was speaking recently. He said, in the north, he's one of the scholars in the north. In fact, he gave that lecture in Hausa. He said, the reason why you women in our community, you are killing your husbands, is that you don't slaughter rams for Allah. If you slaughter a ram for Allah, you slaughter a goat for Allah, it will not be in your mind to slaughter a human. One of the things that brings respect for life is when you slaughter an animal. So women too, you are not left out. If you have the ability, use your own money to buy it. That money you want to buy bag and shoe. That money you want to buy damask material for 50,000-60,000 naira. You can look for one nice gold if that is what you can afford. That reaches the age. We shall describe them tomorrow. Buy a goat and slaughter. So if you want to now slaughter as a woman, it means you cannot remove anything from your hair, from your fingernails, and all of that, just like a man. That one is clear. But how about men who are slaughtering through their wives? Also, you have mentioned what is there, that Muhammad ibn Sirin, when he's slaughtering an animal, himself and his family, he don't remove anything from their fingernails or from their body or from their hairs. He includes his own family in it. But others among scholars say, no, the ruling is restricted to the men that are slaughtered. I think that it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll mention other rulings regarding the animal to slaughter and the Salatul Eid itself that we shall observe on the 10th day of Zulhijjah. Abba Yusuf.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا.
امين وانتم
بخير. بارك الله وجهكم. The first question reads, yes sir, is the sacred month not Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram and Rajab? Because Sheikh was mentioning Shawwal.
I mentioned Shawwal?
No,
it's a mistake if I mention Shawwal. If I mention Shawwal, it's a mistake. The three of them that follow themselves are the Fadah, Fadah, Hijjah, Alhamdulillah. I think that should be corrected. The fourth month that stands alone is the month of what? Rajab. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. Meanwhile,
due to the expectation of Hajj in this month of the Hijjah, is it incorrect if the whole world follows Saudi Arabia irrespective of local moon sighting in order for everyone to be observing the day of Hajj on the same day as pilgrims? Is there any hadith regarding this issue? Jazakumullahu khairan.
Yes, there is a hadith regarding the issue. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali himself has written regarding it. It's not an issue of emotions, how we feel it should be. How we feel it should be that, yes, let everybody follow Saudi Arabia. Somebody can feel like that so that everybody will be together. You're observing it, everything, one. But who told us to follow Saudi Arabia? Nobody told us to follow Saudi Arabia. Everybody will follow their own fighting. What he says is that sumu li ru'yatihi wa afthiru li ru'yatihi. Ask when you cite them. Break your fast when you cite them. Let's say report in Sunan al-Nasa. This is one suku laha. Make your nusuk, make your slaughtering also depend on fighting. Sumu li ru'yatihi wa afthiru li ru'yatihi. The hadith of Abdullah ibn others. There is the aspect of nusuk also to depend on ru'yah. So when he gave that address, the Prophet was talking to everybody in Sunni. The way he was talking to Saudis, the same way he was talking to Americans. So if Americans have not sighted the moon, why do you want them to follow those in Saudi Arabia, people in the region? And there are other hadiths, like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Although others amongst the scholars say, hey, look, when he says that Sumu Leruyati is talking to the entirety of the home, he's talking to the entirety of the home. But there are many other reports that makes us understand that in the past, in the early Muslims, amongst the early Muslims, people followed the sightings in their community. There's a specific hadith from Aisha when a person was upon accounting in his own city before he came to Hajj. If we go for Hajj now, we are going to follow the sightings in Saudi Arabia. But when we are outside Hajj, we are bounded by the sightings in our own cities. We are bounded by the sightings of our own constituted authority. This is even the explanation of the scholars of Saudi Arabia themselves. This is the fatwa of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymi. But the people should follow the sightings of their own regions. There is nothing that says should follow Saudi Arabia, except you are in Saudi Arabia. If you are in Saudi Arabia now, you are binded by that. But if you are not in Saudi Arabia, you are in other regions of the world, you wait for your sightings and follow the sightings of your region. Allahu Alam.
If someone has the intention to pay back missing days of Ramadan in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, will she have the reward of fasting in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah at the same time, reward of paying back her missing Ramadan?
She should fast her Ramadan first before coming to fast first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Anyone who has fasting of Ramadan, complete your Ramadan first before you can start fasting the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, because the fast of Ramadan is compulsory and the debt you are owing. The fasting and the days of Dhul Hijjah are fastings with which you seek rewards. So complete your obligations to Allah first. The servant does not come close to Allah except more than the things that Allah has made obligatory on. The things that are obligatory on us, we come closer to Allah with them than those things that are supererogatory. To fast your Ramadan completely. And this view is the same thing that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu gave. And Imam Abdul Razak in his Musanna reported an asar, where someone came to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and asking the same question you have asked. I'm owing Ramadan. These are the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Say, fast your Ramadan first. So you can intend to pay back your Ramadan in the first 10 days of Hijjah. No problem. You have a lot of rewards. You have the rewards of Ramadan. You have the rewards of doing that good deed of paying back in the month of the Hijjah. So you have good rewards. It's very good. You can intend that I'm fasting in this first 10 days of Ramadan and I'm paying back my Ramadan, first 10 days of the Hijjah, and I'm paying back my Ramadan. It's not wrong. But if it is possible for you, you want to do it separately, pay back your Ramadan first before you start fasting Ashuras in Egypt. But if you can't, you could not have been able to pay back your Ramadan first. You are now in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Intend paying back Ramadan first. Intend that you want to pay back your Ramadan first before you now partake in the good deed in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. I hope that that is clear, inshallah.
Regarding Salatul Tasbih, is it four straight rak'ahs or there is tashahud in between?
It is four straight rak'ahs. There is no tashahud in between. There is no tashahud in between. There is no tashahud in between the twos. It is four straight rak'ahs. The first are standing after reciting Surah and Fatiha. You make Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. 15. When you go to Ruku, after your Azkar of Ruku, you make 15. You make 10 after the Azkar of Ruku. When you stand up from Ruku, you make 10 after the Azkar of standing. When you go to Sujud, you make 10 after the Azkar of Sujud. When you sit down in between Sajdatain, you make 10 after the zikr of Sajdatain. When you go back to Sujood, you make 10 after the zikr of Sujood. Before you stand up, you sit Jalsatul-Istiraha. You make 10 again at that time. If you calculate it, it will amount to how many? 75 for each rak'ah. Then you stand up for the second rak'ah. When you get to the position of tahiyyat, before you make taslim, after your tahiyyat and your tashahud and your salatu ala nabi, you also read 10 again, then you make taslim. So each rak'ah has 75. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith, the hadith of Abbas, that was reported from him by his son Abdullah ibn Abbas. So if you do so, Allah will forgive you all your sins. The major one and the minor, the hidden one and the open. And he started mentioning the various forms of the sins that we have. Allah will forgive all your sins. And the hadith is authentic. So this is, in brief, Salatul Tasbih. You can make this Salatul Tasbih. There is also Salatul Duha. You can make Salatul Duha 2 rak'ahs, or 4 rak'ahs, or 6 rak'ahs, or 8 rak'ahs, and so on. Or 12 rak'ahs, you can make the salat. You can also, don't forget, you must also not forget your qiyam al-layl. It's from the best of rak'ahs that you can ever perform. Qiyam al-layl. Likewise, your al-fajr, with the 2 units you observe before salat, these are from the best, the most rewarding of nawafil to make. Don't also forget your rawatib. You mentioned them a bit during the class. To keep up with all of this. Those who are in the grave today, wishing that they are on the surface. Those in the grave, they'll be wishing that they are like us. They are last people still then and they are after. They can benefit from those rewards. So the loser is the person who has these days and he wastes away playing games, playing WhatsApp, browsing on Facebook without a benefit. And all of us, let us make good use of this time. Let us make good use of this. If you're a memorizer of the Quran, or you like reading the Quran, and it should be for all of us. You can choose to recite the entire Quran in these 10 days. It means that you just read 3 juzus per day. You read 1 juz in the morning, 1 juz in the afternoon, 1 juz in the evening, 3. And you complete the Quran in these 10 days. With ease, you gain all the rewards. There are a lot of things for us. That's why those who may not make Al-Jannah,
Amen. Jazakumullah khairan.
Amen.
This one says, is it compulsory for a woman to seek her husband's permission before doing sadaqa with her money?
If your husband has already allowed you to spend your money as you wish, you may not need to ask him for every time you want to spend. Just like we had read a hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha and other women would spend from what they have. Yes, if I spend this one, my husband will not be sad. So if I spend this one, he already knows that I spend like this. But if he, it's not, you can always let him know. If he asks you, explain to him. If he does not ask you, don't spend it upon in a manner that you know that he is pleased. Unless if he's a man who hates you to spend upon the path of Allah. And this is not a good man. I hope that many of us have husbands who fear Allah subhanahu. But it is possible to find a man who hates his wife to spend upon the path of Allah. That kind of a case, he can spend the money upon the path of goodness and tell him later, even though he may not be pleased. Telling him will make him gradually accept her to spend upon him. So the point clearly, all things being equal, is that if your husband knows that you are not a spendthrift, you spend reasonably, and he gives you a general permission to spend, then you can spend without necessarily telling him. But if he knows, if you know that he is so inquisitive, just out of inquisitiveness and curiosity, he wants to know how have you spent, then tell him, so that you will not be violating those narrations that obligate a woman to tell her husband what she spends from her own money. Allah will
answer. This one says, is there any hadith that talks about goodness for someone that died during the first 10 days of the Hijjah?
No, I don't know any such hadith. Whether there's a special virtue for dying in the first 10 days of the Hijjah, I don't know any hadith like that. And I have not seen any of the scholars saying that.
No. Is it acceptable for two or more people to combine money to buy and kill a ram for the Eid?
For a ram? Ram is for one person. One man buys a ram. One woman buys a ram. When a man slaughters, he slaughters for himself and on behalf of his family. One ram for one individual. For the animals that are for more than one person are cows and camels. We will mention them tomorrow, inshallah. Either 7 or 10 for a camel, and then 7 for a cow. Either 7 or 10, the report of 7 are authentic. The report of 10 are authentic for a camel. But as for a cow, it is 7 people who can find. But as for a sheep or ram or goat, it is just for one person. If one person now buys, we'll come back to this rule tomorrow. One person now slaughtering a camel, he has more rewards than slaughtering a cow. The one person who slaughters a cow, he has more rewards than slaughtering a ram. Inshallah, we'll come back to these issues tomorrow. But as for your question directly, it is one person, one ram.
You
also slaughter 2 rams. You can slaughter 3 rams, but not 2 men over 1 ram. No, it is 1 man, 1 ram, or 1 woman, 1 ram. So 3 women can come together, 5 women can come together, 7 women can come together and slaughter a cow. 7 women or 10 women can come together to slaughter a camel. So cows and camel accept a cooperation. For rams and goats, just for the individual. I hope that is clear, but
no, this is not clear.
At the dot of the R.
even more than an hour, almost one hour.
What I'm saying is that this is 7:58 in the next 2 minutes, so we make this one the last question.
Okay, now, exactly. Okay. Can a menstruating woman touch the Quran, recite the Quran, or recite in the masjid?
The view that I have held amongst the views that the scholars have is that a menstruating woman can touch the Quran. A menstruating woman can touch the Quran. A menstruating woman can sit in the masjid. As long as the blood does not touch the Quran, and as long as the blood does not touch anywhere in the masjid, the menstruating woman can touch the Quran. A menstruating woman can sit down in the masjid. A menstruating woman can read the Quran. So this is the view that I considered, Allahu Alam, stronger among the views that the scholars have held.
Now, regarding people contributing money to feed Iran, someone is saying, what about the children that contribute money to buy ram for parents?
The ram is not for parents. It's not for those contributing the money. Do you understand?
The parents.
Because they have contributed the money does not mean that they are the ones. So who has the ram? It's just like a person who was given a gift of a ram. So they gave their mother or they gave their father a gift of a ram. You understand? The person who has the reward for slaughtering the ram is the person who receives the gift. Because from gifting, the person who is gifted takes over control. So children contributing to buy a ram for their parents, the ram belongs to the parent because it's a gift they are giving him to make that worship. I hope that it's good.
No, no, second.
Now we stop the answer.
No, the second of the ram. But you are the law, what you have in your second.
The plan of Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.